Let's dive into this window into the business and pleasure of learning Torah. Because I think that's what Birkas HaTorah really is. As we were saying before, I think you've begun to see over the course of this morning Seder that, as is so often the case, you begin to ask detailed questions, and we saw during Seder, hopefully we'll see even more over the course of the next couple of minutes in Shir, that the detailed questions will bring us to big vistas in the answer. So we're looking here at the mitzvah of Birkas HaTorah, and I say that somewhat advisedly. The Gemara at the end of Maseches Makos is just talking about this from a different perspective this past Thursday night at Mishmar. The Gemara at the end of Maseches Makos leaves us with a tantalizing mystery. The Gemara talks about different ways to count mitzvahs. And the Gemara says the full count of mitzvahs is 613, based on Gemara has a drasha, a gematria, 613 mitzvahs, but we never get to hear what they are. So that mysterious line in the Gemara sparked centuries of discussion among Gaonim and Rishonim. Many of the finest minds of Klal Yisrael spent years, it seems like, years of their lives dedicated to trying to figure out what are the Tariag mitzvahs, which that clearly are more than 613 halachos. There are more than 613 concepts and more than 613 dinim. So clearly not every din, not every halacha that's obligatory is necessarily a mitzvah. So what makes something a mitzvah? So there were Gaon who worked on it, Rishon who worked on it. Probably the most famous count of mitzvahs is that of the Rambam. And then the Ramban wrote a running commentary, a running critique on the Rambam's count of mitzvahs. And one of the points he makes, every once in a while, say, no, the Rambam counted this, and he should not have counted this. According to Rambam's own rules, you know, he shouldn't have counted this, or he should have, you know, counted these as one instead of as four separate mitzvahs. By the time he's done, so the Ramban says, I'm short a few. So that's part of the dynamic of the sugya of 613 mitzvahs. You know, something has to give somewhere. So if you say, if you're not going to count this, you're going to have to count something else, because there have to be a total of 613 mitzvahs. So after the Ramban is done with his line-by-line, mitzvah-by-mitzvah critique of the Rambam, at the end he says, in addition to all my comments up until this point about what the Rambam said, but he should not have, what the Rambam counted, but he should not have, there also are, balancing out, mitzvahs that the Rambam should have counted but didn't. And the Ramban is very respectful, even though he's disagreeing vigorously with the Rambam throughout. So he has, as you see in the title, the mitzvahs asei shashachach harav. At the end of Sefer Mitzvahs, Ramban lists, and here are all the mitzvahs the Rambam forgot to count. He doesn't mean forgot. He means the Rambam, he thinks the Rambam made a mistake, chose not to count him, he thinks the Rambam is wrong. But Derech Kavod, he says, the mitzvahs of the Rambam forgot to count. And he has many. Ramban had many mitzvahs Rambam did count, the Ramban thought he should not have. And that's the context of what we're looking at right here, Ma'am Makam number 2. This is the 15th mitzvah in the list of the mitzvahs I say that the Rambam did not count, the Ramban thinks that he should have. I think to many of us, perhaps mitzvah Dalid is the most famous. Mitzvah Dalid of the mitzvahs I say that the Ramban adds is the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. That's a very famous discussion for a different time. And pretty confident that as Chodesh Iyar comes close, we'll have a chance to work on that in Shir. The Ramban thinks that Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah. The Ramban thinks it's not. But for now, I want to focus not on mitzvah Dalid, but mitzvah Tesvav. And that's what we have right in front of us, the mitzvah of Birkas HaTorah. And the context of that Ramban is important, as we'll see in a moment. But first, let's take a look at what the Ramban says. Mitzvah Tezvav, the 15th mitzvah that Ramban is adding to the count of mitzvah Saseh, the 248 positive mitzvahs. Shenitz Tavinu Lohodos L'Shmo Yizbaruch B'chol Eish Nikra B'Torah. That we're commanded to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu in conjunction with every opportunity we have to learn Torah. A Jew wakes up in the morning, plan to learn Torah today. I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what? Al Tova HaGadola Sha'asa Lanu Besito Taraso Elenu. The great gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, the present of Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a cosmic favor in giving us Torah. And the Ramban goes on to explain in what way is this a favor. It's a gift not only because in the moment we appreciate Torah. It's a gift not only because in the moment Torah elevates us, but also because Torah is such a powerful tool. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through giving us the Torah, He let us in, He let us know how we need to live in order to live beyond this world. There's a sort of choice we need to make in this world so that we can create our Olam Haba. Avraham Avinu is going to be a focus in the Kriyas HaTorah of Rosh Hashanah. You consider the fact that Avraham Avinu was Kadosh Baruch Hu parachutes him into this world, and he needed to figure out what to do and then to do it. Not only once the Nisyonos begin, the Lach Lecha and the Akedah, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu chooses to not give him complete instructions in advance, head off to the land, you'll find that go to land X, it was very algebraic, but as Chazal points out, as the Rambam records so vividly in the opening lines of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Avraham Avinu came to the core recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's expectations of us, on his own. Yeah, Avraham Avinu had to figure out, what the rules were and then live by them. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a gift that he chose not to give to Avraham Avinu, and that is Hodianu Hamasim Ritzim Lefanim. Choosing to live the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to is plenty challenging in its own right, but at least HaKadosh Baruch Hu did us the gift of letting us know what it is that we're supposed to be living up to. And some appreciation of what the impact is of living this way. So Ramban says, well, that's a lot, that's a whole chapter of ideas. There's a lot to think about. So we before we learn Torah, we need to appreciate the gift of Torah. We need to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that gift. And then he closes with this line, Kasher nitztavinu bibracha acher kol achila, kein nitztavinu bizu. Just as we were commanded to say a bracha after eating, so too we were commanded to say a Berakas HaTorah. So why is he making an equation between Berakas HaMazon and Berakas HaTorah? So that goes back to the, in saying that, the Ramban is referencing back to the source, which is here appears in Gemara Machlokes number 1, Gemara Brachos Daf Chafal Amud Alef. The Gemara wants to know, how do you know that you make a bracha after eating, and how do you know that you make a bracha before learning? How do you know that you say a Birkas HaMazon La'achareha, they say a bracha after eating Min HaTorah, that's a mitzvah doraisa. Saying a bracha before food is a takana d'rabanan, but saying Birkas HaMazon, that's a mitzvah doraisa, Gemara says, a pasuk in Ekev, Yachalta V'Savato V'Rachta. So that's the source for the mitzvah d'oraisa of Birkas HaMazon after eating. How about Birkas HaTorah lefaneha min HaTorah? How do you know that a din d'oraisa, you got to say Birkas HaTorah? So a pasuk that we just heard in the laning yesterday afternoon. Kishem, from the beginning of Ha'azinu. Kishem Hashem Ekra, Havu Godel Lelokeinu. But if I'm about to call out the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and as the Vilna Gaon discusses in other contexts, Ramban discusses in other contexts, that Limud HaTorah is in a certain sense the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The name of a person is the way in which we handle, even in the non-Twitter sense, it's a handle by which we can refer to someone. And sometimes a little bit of a description of who he or she is. So the name, Torah is a description of Elokus. Torah gives us some sense of who or what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. So we refer to Torah sometimes as the name of Hashem. Kol Torah kula shemosav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the pasuk says, Ki shem Hashem akar, I'm about to call out the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which the Gemara understands means I'm about, it's a poetic way of saying, I'm about to learn Torah, I'm about to call the name of Hashem, about to learn Torah, Havu Godel Elokeinu. I first have to give greatness to Ribbono Shel Olam. I have to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu before I learn. So that's the background, that's the basics. There's a mitzvah of Birkas HaTorah. The Gemara is clear that Birkas HaTorah is rooted in a pasuk. It's minhag. The Gemara says explicitly it's minhag Torah. And that's why the Ramban is referencing that. Because one of the Rambam's basic rules of determine criteria for determining is a given din, a mitzvah or not, is it da'oraisa? Rule number one is it has to be da'oraisa. Rule number two is it has to be a pasuk in the Chumash. Those are the first two of the Rambam's 14 criteria for determining which dinim qualified to be among the 613 mitzvahs. The Ramban says, take a look. Take a look at this Gemara. It's min ha-Torah, pasuk in Chumash. It ought to be there. Why didn't the Rambam count it? And I said before, context is critical, because the very first question you have is really the unspoken question of the Rambam, of the Ramban rather, which is, why didn't the Rambam count it? That's the first question in the sugya. Gemara, Ferish Gemara, Pasuk, we just learned it yesterday. Kishem Hashem Ekra, Brachas Daf Chafalf. It's an open and shut case. I have a din, it's obligatory. The Rambam does quote the halacha of saying Birkas HaTorah, but he doesn't present it as a mitzvah. And that's the first mystery. What's there to debate about? Why would you not count Birkas HaTorah as a mitzvah? What was driving the Rambam? So that's question number one. That's sort of a big picture question. We might intuit that sort of question might bring us to something larger, but to solve that, we need to dive into the details. See, here we go. Yeah, question. Was that a hand? No. Okay. Sorry. So let's take a look. So question number one is the question of who, and this actually brings us to an interesting overlap between Inyana di Yoma and the Birkas HaTorah, a machlokes, and I think this is relevant in this call. We have both Ashkenazim and Sfaradim represented on this call. So here's a machlokes Shulchan Aruch, or I should say Maran, and the Ramah. As you know, from Open Up a Mishnah Berurah or some other edition of the Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch of Yosef Karo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, lived in the 1500s. He was a Sfaradi Talmud Chacham who made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, lived in Tzfat. Ashkenazi contemporary of his was Rav Moshe Israelis, the Ramah, Reish Mem Aleph, who lived in Krakow, one of the centers of Jewish Poland, one of the centers of Jewish Eastern Europe at that point, one of the centers of the Ashkenazi community. And they lived at the same time, and they end up essentially collaborating, and that was the outcome, on a halacha sefer. Because the Ramah chose to write or rewrite his halacha sefer as hagos, as added notes, filling out the Shulchan Aruch and providing the Ashkenazi position when there's a difference between Ashkenazim and Sfarim. So here's an example. Here's an example appears in Hilchos Shofar. It's relevant as well to Sukkah and to Lulav. Shulchan Aruch quotes Nashim Peturos. You're a Tov Kuf Pei Tes. Source Gimel in the Maamar Kamos. Nashim Peturos made Tkiya Shofar. Women are, strictly speaking, not obligating Tkiya Shofar. Post can quote the Bahag, who said from the period of the Gaonim, that's already been for the last 1,000+ years, it's been very widespread in many Yisrael, that Shavyuhu Alayu Chovah, that women treat Tkiya Shofar as though it were an obligation, even though it's a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, even though technically speaking, strictly speaking, women are not obligated, certainly can volunteer to hear a shofar, and certainly a kiyuma mitzvah to hear a shofar. Strictly speaking, I told women are obligated to hear a shofar, just as they're not obligated to eat in sukkah or sleep in sukkah or shake lulav. But it's been at this point, very ancient Jewish practice that women obligate themselves in shofar. Okay. So the question is, okay, so that's universal. How does it work with brachos? You see, there's a Gemara, some of us were discussing over the course of Morning Seder, Gemara near the end of the third parak of Rosh Hashanah talks, the Mishnah Gemara, talk about one person blowing shofar for another person. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Mishi yatsa kevar yachal isko lahotzian. Even if I heard shofar in the morning, I went to shul, indoors, outdoors, whatever guidance one's community is following, I got to hear, I blew shofar myself, I heard someone else blow shofar, I was yotze shofar in the course of davening, and then I'm going to go around to people who are homebound. And I'm going to walk up and down, you know, knock on doors or blow in the street, however one's going to go in the hospital, near the hospital, in the nursing home, near their nursing home, whatever is appropriate and prudent, but I'm going to blow for other people, then I'm going to go home and blow for my family. So Shulchan Aruch said, that's valid. Even though I was already yotze, I can blow on behalf of others. Who makes the bracha? Who makes the bracha? So Shulchan Aruch says, if I heard shofar and shul, and then I'm going to come home and blow again for my wife, so ein mevarchos v'lo yivarchu lehen. Shulchan Aruch is of the opinion, the Sephardi approach, is that my wife should not make a bracha and shofar, nor should I make the bracha for her to be yotze. I'm going to blow shofar. She is going to fulfill the mitzvah of shofar by hearing my call shofar, but no bracha is recited. And the Ramah disagrees. Hagav, there he's giving his gloss, filling in the Ashkenaz, a compliment. Haminag, the practice, and the Ramah says minag without specifying, means Ashkenazi practice. Shahanashim mevarchos ha-mitzvah seishazman grama. Ashkenazi practice, the women do say a bracha on a mitzvah they're not obligated in. Al kein gam kan tivarachten la'atzman. The Ramah says, if I'm blowing for my wife, I'm blowing for a group of women. So one of the women should recite the bracha. That's our practice at Beth Abram. I think that's more or less universal Ashkenazi practice. This machlokas in the 1500s between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, it's a larger, more global machlokas. It has its roots at least several centuries earlier in Ashkenazi and Sephardi Rishonim. The Shulchan Aruch found the position of the Rambam, who was a Sephardi. Ramah's found the position of Rabbeinu Tam, the beginning of the period of Baal Tosfos, one of the early Ashkenazi Rishonim. And the question is, if I'm volunteering, it's not necessarily even a question. It comes up practically for women more than for men, but fundamentally it can apply to both women and men. The question is, if I'm volunteering, for some reason there's a mitzvah that I'm not obligated in, but I can volunteer. If I choose to volunteer, a Jew chooses to volunteer a mitzvah, so does that call for a bracha or not? The Gemara speaks about the concept of Eina Mitzvah V'Yosa, that a Jew can often volunteer to keep a mitzvah even though it's not obligated. And the question is, when I'm volunteering a mitzvah, do I make a birkas ha-mitzvah? If I'm obligated a mitzvah, so I make a birkas ha-mitzvah. I'm obligated to do the mitzvah, and then is obligated to shake lulav, and is obligated to say the asher kiddush ha'om sosa v'tzivanu, al tzias lulav, in advance. How about a woman is volunteering to shake lulav? A woman is volunteering to eat in the sukkah. A woman is volunteering to blow shofar. I'm volunteering a mitzvah, do I say a bracha? So the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch say, no. It's if you're volunteering the mitzvah, the zakiyah mitzvah, that's beautiful, but how can you say a bracha? What's probably driving the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch is the word vitzivanu. How do I say HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded me? It's not true. He didn't command me. I'm volunteering it, but it's not a tzivui. So the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch say, you're volunteering to do the mitzvah gevaldik, but no bracha. And the Ashkenazi approach is, no, if I'm volunteering a mitzvah, I can and ought to say a bracha. Vitzivanu, perhaps the response to the Vitzivanu question is, the Vitzivanu says in plural, HaKadosh Baruch command the Jewish people to blow shofar. HaKadosh Baruch command the Jewish people to shake lulav. I'm personally plugging into the mitzvah, even though for me it's not a tzivui, for me it's a voluntary kiyum. So be that as it may, here we have document in source Gimel, and it comes up elsewhere as well. Machlokas, wide range of machlokas, Sephardim, Ashkenazim. What do you do when you volunteer a mitzvah? It's beautiful. Everyone agrees you can volunteer a mitzvah, but do I say a bracha or not? So based on the evidence, here's the question. Here's the following question. So let's come back to the world of Talmud Torah. So men are assumed to have, men have an ongoing continual obligation to learn Torah. Now is not time to get into the details of what the shir is, every day, every night, etc., how much. But obligation, regular Talmud Torah, even if I know it already. Rebbe, why do I have to chazer? I know it all. I know, but I have an obligation not only to know, but to be actively engaged on a regular basis, probably on a daily basis, in Talmud Torah. So I have a Birkas HaTorah. So every day I make a Birkas HaTorah. Hopefully every day I bring it home with some learning. The question, let's say a woman volunteers to learn Torah. So she's not a woman is not obligated to in daily Talmud Torah. Certainly, there's a kiyum mitzvah, but no obligation. Certainly, both men and women need to know what they need to do, but I don't need to learn every day in order to know what I need to do. So a woman volunteers today; she's going to spend some time learning. Beautiful. Does she make a Birkas HaTorah? Does she make a Birkas HaTorah if she's an Ashkenaziya? And does she make a Birkas HaTorah if she's a Sfaradiya? So what would you say? Feel free to unmute if you'd like. What would you say about should Ashkenazi women say Birkas HaTorah if they're volunteering to learn? Should Sfaradi women? What would you say? I can't say left half of the room, raise your hand. Coming in the chat. Sure. Ideally, you would have the one who is not yet Yotze say the bracha. So ideally, if a man is blowing for a group of women, so one of the women is comfortable saying the bracha, she should say the bracha and be on path for herself, all the women who are listening. And then the tokeya blows shofar. If not, then the tokeya says the bracha. So coming back here, again, so applying the shofar sugya to Birkas HaTorah, you would have expected there should be the same machlokas. That the Ramah would say, yes, if a woman volunteers to learn, she should say Birkas HaTorah. And the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch, would say, Sephardi women, if they want to volunteer to learn, that's beautiful, but no bracha because it's a voluntary act. So what's odd is the Shulchan Aruch lets us down. What's odd is you can turn back from Tav Kuf Pei Tes Hilchos Rosh Hashanah to the beginning of Aruch Chaim Siman Mem Zayin. Siman Mem Zayin is the siman in Tur Shulchan Aruch that is the home of Hilchos Birkas HaTorah. So Shulchan Aruch says at the very end of the Siman, Sif Yudalad, Nashim Mevarchos Birkas HaTorah. This is the Shulchan Aruch speaking, that Sephardi women say Birkas HaTorah. So the Poskim are very puzzled. If you look in the Beis Yosef, which where the Shulchan Aruch gives his sources, his source that women say Birkas HaTorah if they choose to learn is the Sefer HaAgur, a late Ashkenazi Rishon. So the Noset Kalim point out Shulchan Aruch, the Agur appropriately said that because he was an Ashkenazi. So that's the Ashkenazi approach. If you're volunteering a mitzvah, you do make a bracha. But the Shulchan Aruch should not have imported, shouldn't have quoted that because it's inconsistent with Shulchan Aruch's own approach back in Siv Gimel that one does not make a Birkas HaMitzvah on a voluntary mitzvah. Now that's puzzle number two. Puzzle number one was why does the Rambam not count the Birkas HaTorah is a mitzvah. Puzzle number two, why does the Shulchan Aruch assume that women who are volunteering to learn Torah do recite a Birkas HaTorah, even though they would not recite a bracha on any other voluntary mitzvah? Question number three runs as follows. Question number three, the question of I Torah. Someone told me, of the course of Seder, one of the dads told me that he goes jogging every morning with Rabbi Leibowitz. Rabbi Leibowitz is not live on the jog, but he listened to Rabbi Leibowitz's Daf Yomi Shir during his pre-Shachris jog. I'm not sure if Rabbi Leibowitz gets to burn calories also. If he did, I would be very excited for him. I'm sure there are many hundreds of people who are jogging with Rabbi Leibowitz. The question is, do I say I'm going to listen to a shir, whether I'm exercising or not, I'm going to listen to a shir passively before Shacharis. It could be a podcast shir, or it could be, for that matter, a live shir. I come to shul and I come to shul at 5:30 to listen to a Daf Yomi shir, and then 6:30 is Shacharis. So do I have to remember to say Birkas HaTorah at 5:29, or do I say Birkas HaTorah at 6:33 after I've begun to daven Shacharis? So Shulchan Aruch says no. Shulchan Aruch says in source number Hey, Shulchan Aruch says, no, Mahar B'Divrei Torah, if I'm thinking and learning, but I'm not verbalizing it, Eino Tzarech Levarech. If it's all mental, it's all internal, no need for a bracha. The Ramah goes on to say, here the Ramah agrees with the Shulchan Aruch, he actually amplifies it. He says, let's say A Rav is on the way into Shacharis, and someone catches him with a Shaila. Says, Rabbi, what do you think about X, Y, and Z? So the Rama says, look, if you're going to start explaining why, so then you're talking and learning, you got to say Birkas HaTorah before responding. But if you're just going to say yes, no, us or mutter, just give the answer without articulating, without verbalizing the rationale, Yachal Lifsog Din below Nesinas Tam Lidvarav. I'm allowed to give a psak without a flat psak, without explanation, without reciting a Birkas HaTorah in advance. Now, obviously, a responsible posek will be thinking and learning before he responds. A responsible human being thinks before he speaks. So obviously, a posek is thinking through the sugya before he responds. But again, the Ramah says, as the Shulchan Aruch said, thinking and learning, mere thinking and learning, if it's internal, if it's not being verbal, it's not being articulated, not being expressed verbally, there's no need for a Birkas HaTorah. And the Vilna Gaon is incredibly upset. What do you mean, mere thinking? Mere thinking? Vilna Gaon says, yes, I know the Shulchan Aruch is based in Mar Makom Vav. Hiru Lav Kedibur Dami. I says, I understand the Shulchan Aruch is rooted in a sugya in Maseches Brachos in the third parak and elsewhere, that thought is not the same as speech. But the Vilna Gaon says, it is true that if I have a mitzvah to say a bracha, I cannot think through the bracha in my head without actually verbalizing it. I can't just think the words of Kriya Shema in my head without verbalizing. Silent reading is not acceptable for verbal mitzvahs. And the Vilna Gaon says, yes, I know that sugya too. Hiru lav kedibur dami. But the Vilna Gaon says, but I think it's entirely inapplicable here. I will call that tzarichim. The Gaon says, I don't understand what Shulchan Aruch and Rama are saying. The kamavarach al hamitzvah. You're making a bracha on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So, yes, it's true that the mitzvah of Kriya Shema is Kriya Shema. It requires verbalizing the Shema. So if you merely thought it without saying it, you weren't in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. But how about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Is it a mitzvah to speak words of Torah? V'chi leka mitzvah behir? The Shulchan Aruch mean to tell me, does he honestly think that one is not in fulfillment of a mitzvah of Talmud Torah when you're thinking? Really? So number one, that means that you're always, Vilna Gaon says, if that's the case, you're all wasting your time. I asked a question, no one wanted to unmute, which is totally fine. Totally fine, you would think. If you want to just passively listen to a shir, well, the Vilna Gaon says, the Shulchan Aruch said you don't have to say a bracha on that. Why? Is there no mitzvah? You mean you woke up at 5, you got up before 5 in the morning, you show up to shul at 5:30 in the morning to come to a daf shir. No mitzvah. Bittul Torah for an hour. Really? Vilna Gaon says, of course not. Of course you fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, whether you're active or passive. Now, if one's asleep, so then then one gets a schar for trying to learn Torah. But if one is awake and thinking and alert, it's a mitzvah, it's a cognitive mitzvah. He says, I'll prove, not only do we intuit that it's a mitzvah, and not only have you not already left the Zoom room because you want to go talk and learning elsewhere, but the Vilna Gaon says, I'll prove it to you from the language of the Psukim. You know, the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua is one of the sources for the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The Hagisa bo yomam v'layla. The Vilna Gaon says, what's that verb? Higayon, v'hagisa. He says, that's believe. In modern Hebrew, higayon is logic. The Vilna Gaon points out, even going back to biblical Hebrew, hegyon libi, a pasuk that with which we close every single Shmona Esrei. Hegyon libi is the thought of the heart, the thought of the mind. Obviously, higayon is something that lahagos doesn't necessarily mean to speak. Lahagos means to think. The Hagisa Bayom Valai is a mitzvah to think and learning. So Vilna Gaon says, I don't understand the Shulchan Aruch. How do you tell me that you don't make a bracha on thinking and learning, but you're doing the mitzvah of thinking and learning? So now we have three questions. Number one, why did the Rambam not count the mitzvah of Birkas HaTorah? Number two, why on the number three? On the one hand, the Shulchan Aruch The Shulchan Aruch says that women is surprisingly expansive when it comes to women making birkas hatorah. We would expect he would limit it because it's a mitzvah that she's not mechuyeves in. It's a mitzvah that she's volunteering. And on the other hand, he's surprisingly limiting the Shulchan Aruch when we talk about making birkas hatorah on silent birkas hatorah. I'm listening to a shir, listening live, listening to a podcast. There the Shulchan Aruch says, no bracha. And the Vilna Gaon can't figure it out. But there's a mitzvah. But there's a mitzvah. So Reb Chaim is quoted, Reb Chaim Brisker is quoted by his son as making a suggestion to solve both comments of the Shulchan Aruch in light of the position of the Ramban. And time is tight. We only have a couple minutes left. So I want to very, very briefly reference two other things. One before the Reb Chaim and one after. One that will lead us into Reb Chaim and the other one that will sort of open a window beyond. What will lead us in is a fourth area, and that is which parts of Talmud Torah require a bracha. At first glance, that I mentioned when we got started this morning, it sounds like, oh, you know, if one hasn't seen the Gemara and Brachas Daf Yud Aleph, so hard to imagine. What do you mean, which parts of Torah? Torah requires Birkas HaTorah. But the truth is, most Amoraim, it sounds like, did not make a Birkas HaTorah before learning Gemara. And that's this Gemara in Brachas Daf Yafa. Four-way Machlokas Amoraim. The first opinion is you only make a Birkas HaTorah on Mikra, on Tanakh, nothing else. And then the other Amoraim go on to expand outward somewhat, concentric circles. Rav Huna says only Mikra, only Tanakh. Well, it says, even Medrash. Yochan says, let's go even further. Mikra Medrash and even Mishnah, but not Gemara. And finally, Rava says, even Gemara. Everything. What's the debate about? It's a little bit reminiscent of that question that Vilna Gaon had about the hearer. What, is it not a mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Did Rav Huna not learn Gemara? Rav Huna thought that learning Mishnayos was a Bittul Torah? Probably not. What's going on? So you take a look and we show them, very fascinating. Everyone agrees that the early positions hold that Birkas Torah is really meant to be about Tanakh. Specifically Tanakh. Rav Huna says pure Tanakh. Rav Elazar says, look, Medrash is Torah Shebaal Peh that's arranged as an interpretation of Tanakh. That's sort of Tanakh plus. Rav Yochanan says even Mishnayos will quote Psukim from time to time. How about Rava? We pass in like Rava. Where does Rava lie? So it's interesting is the Rishonim seem to debate this. See, Rabbeinu Yonah says, and even Talmud, even the last position, Rava, you make a bracha even on Gemara Shib, but Talmud Gan came in Farshi Karapazukim. Gemara also involves Tanakh. Sounds like a yeshivish answer for why I don't learn Tanakh. Well, I learn Gemara. Right. Well, so you think it's a yeshivish answer. Rabbi Tam actually says it. You have to put it into context. But Rabbeinu Yonah says, even Gemara qualifies for a Birkas HaTorah because it involves some psukim. But other Rishonim disagree. Rashi is very clear. He says, when it gets to Gemara, he says, Gemara, that's the Ikar HaTorah. The fourth position is Gemara is the core. Shemi menu hora yotza. Psak halacha emerges from Gemara. Profound understanding of any part of Torah isn't going to come without learning Gemara. It sounds like we've shifted away. It's not about, Rava disagrees fundamentally. It's not about learning Tanakh per se. The Rambam also, very clear. Ben Kardi, I told you the Rambam quote talks about Birkas HaTorah, and here he does. Here he speaks about Birkas HaTorah. It's in Hilchos Tfilah, interestingly. It's in Seder HaBrachos. So he says, you have to make a Birkas HaTorah. Bein kar b'Torah shebichsav, bein kar b'Torah shebapeh. Doesn't matter whether Torah shebichsav, Torah shebapeh. So while Rabbeinu Yonah saw that the psak halacha, the shita we accept, Rava, is still tied into this idea that basically Birkas HaTorah is about learning Tanakh, but we could see all Torah shebapeh as an expansion of Tanakh, Rashi and Rambam say no. Rava disagrees fundamentally. It's not about learning Tanakh in particular. What are they arguing about? So all these four ideas, I think, revolve around the same core concept, which is the following. There are different categories of brachas. The Rambam opens Hilchos Brachas. So, you know, there's a Birkas Hanenin, there's a Birkas HaMitzvah, there's a Birkas Shevach V'Hoda. Different categories of brachas. Birkas HaMitzvah is a bracha we make before doing a mitzvah. And usually, the hallmark of a Birkas HaMitzvah, and the clearest indicator that the bracha about to say is Birkas HaMitzvah, is the formula, Asher Kiddushanu V'Sosa V'Tzivanu. Matter of fact, it's such a common formula it has in Poskin halachic literature, its own Rosh HaTevis. Aleph Kuf Beis Vav. Asher Kiddushanu V'Sosa V'Tzivanu. So Akbu, Asher Kiddushanu V'Sosa V'Tzivanu, Aleph Kuf Beis Vav. Now we know that Asher Kiddushanu V'Sosa V'Tzivanu, Alon Tzilos Lulav, Amikr Megillah, Hallel, Shofar, Netilas Yadayim, Tvilas Kalim, Mezuzah, Tfilin, etc., Tzitzis, etc., etc., etc. How about Birkas HaTorah? It has that same formula, but then all of a sudden it expands. Because your typical Birkas HaMitzvah is Asher Kiddushanu V'Sosa V'Tzivanu, and we name the bracha, name the mitzvah, and that's it. One sentence. Birkas HaTorah starts like a Birkas HaMitzvah, but then V'Harivna, it's much more expansive. So Reb Chaim Brisker is quoted by his son Revelvel in the Sefer and Rambam, in the one essay that Revelvel has on Hilchos Brachas, quotes from his father Reb Chaim that there are two ways of looking at the Birkas HaTorah. Is it a Birkas HaMitzvah, just it's more poetic, richer than most? Or is it not really a Birkas HaMitzvah? He says, look back at the Ramban with which we opened. There was nothing about Birkas HaMitzvah. It's all about thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a gift. It sounded like a Birkas Shevach V'Hoda, a different category. It sounded like you encounter the majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the physical cosmos, you make a bracha. You see the Alps, you see the Grand Canyon, you see Niagara Falls. You hear a clap of thunder, you see a bolt of lightning. You say, We're taken once again by the majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we see his physical creation. So Reb Chaim suggests the other way of looking at Birkas HaTorah is what the Ramban seems to be saying. It's a bracha on the majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as evidenced through his spiritual creations. We encounter HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only at the Grand Canyon, we encounter HaKadosh Baruch Hu over a block Gemara, over a pasuk of Chumash. We encounter the majesty, the grandeur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in learning. That calls for a bracha on the experience of Talmud Torah. As Ramban said, a bracha on the gift of Talmud Torah, and the rendezvous with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we experience when we learn. When we open a sefer, and all of the details begin to fall into place. Let's go through one by one. All the dominoes begin to fall. The first detail question, we'll come back to the question of the Rambam and counting this mitzvah in a moment. We had seen a double machlokas Shulchan Aruch and Vilna Gaon, right? On the one hand, if I'm volunteering the mitzvah, and on the other hand, when I'm listening without speaking. Right? So on the one hand, the Shulchan Aruch obligates women who are learning to say Birkas HaTorah, even though they're not obligating the mitzvah. It's not consistent with his approach to shofar sukkah lulav. On the other hand, the Shulchan Aruch does not obligate a Jew who's listening to a podcast or otherwise listening quietly, learning quietly, thinking on his own actively, but not verbalizing, no Birkas HaTorah. In both cases, Vilna Gaon attacked him. And Chaim pointed out, the premise of the Vilna Gaon's attack in both cases is the same, and it's that premise that Shulchan Aruch takes issue with. Both problems are only problematic on the assumption it's a Birkas HaMitzvah. It's a Birkas HaMitzvah, so why should it be any different than Tkiyah Shofar? The poskim ask against Shulchan Aruch. It's a mitzvah, not obligated, so then I shouldn't say that bracha. And on the flip side, Vilna Gaon had said explicitly, why would you not make a bracha on thinking and learning, but kan mevarach al mitzvah? There's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. You're fulfilling the mitzvah of Talmud Torah even when you're silent. Why not say the bracha? Reb Chaim suggests, well, the Shulchan Aruch apparently believed that there certainly is a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but the bracha is not a birkas hamitzvah. The bracha instead, like the Ramban had formulated, it's a bracha on the experience. It's a birkas shavach v'hoda. Perhaps. It's a bracha on the experience of Talmud Torah. I'm not obligated to see the Alps, but if I choose to see the Alps, I make a bracha on it. So while it's true that Jewish women are not obligated to learn Torah daily, if they choose to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu when they open a sefer, so Birkas Shevach v'Hodah never depends on Chiyuv. So that explains why the Shulchan Aruch does extend Birkas HaTorah to women, even though their participation in Talmud Torah is voluntary. So on a daily basis, it's voluntary. And on the flip side, one can add, Reb Chaim doesn't fully unpack the idea, but while it's true that one fulfills a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, even if I'm silent, but apparently the experience isn't complete if I'm not active. The encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more complete. The Gemara speaks about the value of it. Baruch Hashem, we all had. We were learning B'chavrusa moments, minutes ago. The active verbalizing Talmud Torah is a fuller expression of the rendezvous with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that might also explain the Machlokas HaRishonim. How do you make sense of this Machlokas Amaram? And we said several Amaram appear to believe that that Birkas HaTorah is really about specifically learning Tanakh. And according to Ben Yonah, that's even how we paskin. Ben Yonah said, even the final sheet to whom we accept, Rava, Alpha Talmud Tzarech Levarach, Ben Yonah said that to it because it involves some Tanakh. While Rashi and Rambam said, no, it's about Talmud Torah. It's about learning. Where does that leave me? Perhaps Ben Yonah is taking the idea of the Rambam a step further. An application that Rambam himself did not make. But perhaps Ben Yonah is suggesting that the encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is fuller when I'm directly encountering the word of the spoken word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos maybe quotes a pasuk in halachic context. He'll introduce it with a kalaleh in the original Arabic. Omar Hashem. Omar Hashem. Then I'll quote whatever. Hashviyas Tishmetan Tashta. God said XYZ. A powerful reminder. In the midst of a sugya, that the words of Chumash are the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah Shval Peh is a divinely inspired interpretation of the Torah. But the Rabbeinu Yonah apparently held, and apparently some of these Amoraim held, that the encounter, the rendezvous, the experience of coming face to face with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Talmud Torah is more intense, specifically on learning Tanakh, where I'm somewhat connected, learning something connected to the Tanakh. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is there regardless of whether I'm in Torah Shabbat Chassav or Torah Shabbat Peh. But the quality of the encounter, the quality of the experience, that's different. That might even explain why the Rambam rejects Daf Chaf Aleph, or why the Rambam didn't count Talmud Torah, Birkas HaTorah as a mitzvah d'oraisa, because perhaps he saw the two Gemaras as being in conflict with one another. That's where Bezalel Zsolti suggests in his Mishnas Yavetz, that as the Ramban pointed out, the notion of Birkas HaTorah as a mitzvah d'oraisa, it's in parallel to Birkas HaMazon, not a Birkas HaMitzvah. So one, if you see the Gemara and Daf Yud Aleph as expressing a machlokas over that, so that means we paskin like Rava, that it's ultimately a Birkas HaMitzvah. It's not about the encounter, perhaps. Perhaps the Rambam understands that was a machlokas Amram. Is it the experience, and that's why it's specific about Tanakh, or it's about the mitzvah? And that's why Ben Kar B'Tarah Shebichzav, Ben Kar B'Tarah Shepapeh. And so perhaps the Rambam doesn't think that Birkas HaTorah is a mitzvah, because he understands that the Gemara and Daf Yud Aleph was debating that. And so the Rambam never quotes a pasuk and doesn't present it as a daraisa, and therefore it doesn't count it as a mitzvah. And let me leave you finally with the following idea. For all of us, young and younger, to take with us into the last week of Tashrin Peh, as we prepare, Mitzvah Hashem, to equip ourselves spiritually to open up Tashrin Peh Aleph. An insight that I heard in the name of Aaron Lichtenstein, Zichron Levracha. Gemara The Gemara in Maseches Tanis comments on a pasuk in Yeshayahu. We laid this pasuk a couple of weeks ago in the Haftarah. Yeshayahu is calling Jews to learn, the Gemara understands, and comparing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah to different beverages. And the Gemara highlights the array of beverages that Yeshayahu uses as metaphors. The final maramakam, Nimshlu divrei Torah l'shlosha mashkin halalu, maim, yain, v'chalav. Torah is compared, metaphorically, to three beverages. Water, wine, and milk. And that is in the pasuk. Hoy kol tzameh l'chul amayim. Every third, Yeshayahu calls every thirsty person to come drink the waters of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. And he goes on to talk about yain v'chalav as well. But the Gemara makes us wonder, why is that so significant? As though they're like a set. How are they a set? If you mix them together, it doesn't sound like a particularly appealing recipe. Some sort of wine shake. So what's the significance of highlighting these as a set, as a kit, as a trio of drinks that somehow together say something about Talmud Torah? So I heard, I believe, Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky many years ago quote the name of Aaron Lichtenstein, Havda ben Chaim L'Chaim, that these are capturing, limiting what it is that Birkas HaTorah is telling us about Talmud Torah. You know, the Stipler has a twist on this lumdus of Birkas HaTorah. He sees it as the two options as Birkas HaMitzvah and Birkas HaNehenin. Not so much a Birkas Shavu Odah, but it's a bracha on the pleasure. Is it a bracha on the tzivui, a Birkas HaMitzvah, on the obligation of learning? Or is it a bracha on the Birkas HaNehenin? Mamish like Birkas HaMazon. A bracha on the pleasure of Talmud Torah. So if Aaron suggested, you know, water and milk are essentials. An infant can't live without milk, an adult can't live without water. And water is sometimes something that we'll drink. You're on a hike, you're getting a little dehydrated, and the water is all warm, and you got to drink the water anyways. It's not necessarily so enjoyable, but you got to drink it to stay hydrated. And when we get to a rest stop, we'll get some cold water. But right now, you got to have the warm water. You need it. It's a necessity. Wine, on the other hand, is absolutely not a necessity. It is, metaphorically, captures a sense of luxury, of finer living. Wine in moderation bespeaks that. And so if Aaron suggested, that's what the Gemara is highlighting, that Yeshayahu is giving us a picture, Talmud Torah is both. Talmud Torah is an obligation, and Talmud Torah is an invitation to the greatest spiritual luxury. And sometimes we begin with the Yira. Sometimes we begin with, I need this. And as Rav Alba writes in the opening pages of Ali Shur, a Jew needs to learn even when he's not in the mood. I can't only learn because I enjoy it. There needs to be a consistency. It needs to be a sense, as Rabbi Akiva said to Papus, you know, a Jew without Torah is a fish without water. My identity will be incomplete. My identity, Jewish identity, will be depleted if I don't keep it spiritually hydrated through regular learning. But the goal over the greater and greater consistent, growing consistency in Talmud Torah, the more I water myself with Talmud Torah, the more and more I come to appreciate the wine of Torah as well. While there is a raging machlokas harishon with practical nafkaminas, as we saw, whether the bracha on Torah is a bracha on the business or the pleasure of Torah, whether it's a birkas hamitzvah or birkas hanenin, but both are certainly speaking to aspects of Talmud Torah. No one disputes the fact that Talmud Torah itself is both. There's business and pleasure of Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is an obligation. It's something I need to keep myself spiritually hydrated. And at the same time, we aspire, we reach with greater consistency that more and more of the time, I'm tasting not only the water, but the wine of Torah as well. The richness that of the experience itself, the richness of the encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rubbing my neshama, so to speak, my neshama rubbing shoulders, metaphorically speaking, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, over a chumash, over a blot gemara, over Mesilas Yesharim, and it enriches my life, as Ramban said, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the gift of coming close to Him through learning. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the gift of coming close to Him here, and it's the key to crafting in this world and Olam Haba as well. I want to once again thank you so much for carving time out of a Sunday.